Hello, listeners, and welcome. I'm Gillian Aslett, the Programme Business Change Lead here at Harrods, and today we're diving into something exciting, the Future Retail Programme. To help bring this all to life, I'm joined by the brilliant Daisy, who leads our buying and merchandising workstream in the programme. She's been right here with me at the thick of it, and today we're chatting about what this journey really looks like on a day-to-day and where it's all heading. So shall we get going, Daisy?
Let's. How about we start with how we became involved in the programme, as our journeys are quite different, aren't they?
I think they are quite different. I mean, I've been at Harrods now for 12 years, but I've done so many different roles since I've been at Harrods, which have all been totally challenging in different ways, from running customer service to looking after the delivery for our dot-com business. But now here I am as the business change lead at Harrods. I think the common factor that's been in all of those roles is that nothing's stayed the same. Things have changed constantly. And there's been an ongoing challenge. I think it's probably, if I think back, about 2 years ago now that I went for coffee with our programme director, Mark, and talked to him about the fact that I was up for something a little bit different. And he's been a massive support and advocate of mine all the way through and really put faith in me and invested in my development to help me take on this new challenge and move forward. So he understood, as I did, the real big importance when we are working on something like this is that we really understand the business and our people, and we understand what's important. And I think also, which I think everyone will agree I've got, is that we have the passion to want to deliver something and to help Harrods be as good as it absolutely can be. So, like I've said, quite a lot of similarities, particularly in the fact that I've led a lot of change with my teams before. But I'm going to be honest, it feels very different this time. So how about you?
So for me, I joined Harrods a year ago, actually, specifically to work on the programme. So I bring experience of leading complex kind of cross-functional projects from concept to reality, I suppose. Over the past 17 years, I've worked in retail transformation, both in consultancy and for retailers themselves. And I've worked on lots of different projects. But I think it boils down to three things that drew me to Harrods. So I think the iconic heritage brand and luxury retailing, it brings a whole different set of opportunities and challenges versus high street retailing, which I'm more used to. I think the content and the ambition of the programme, more on that in a minute, but I think Harrods really wanted to be one of the first to market in the UK with this technology transformation that we're going to talk about. And I suppose thirdly, the people. And I think more on that later, which we'll cover.
I think that's probably enough about us for now anyway. Let's come back to the programme. I think it's worth just explaining a little bit about what's in scope, so what we're actually doing. So the technology we're replacing is what we call our Enterprise Resource Planning System, or ERP. Many of you will know, and the teams within Harrods will know, this is our ECC or SAP. Don't worry, it is all about three-letter acronyms. I promise I'm going to try and avoid any jargon as we talk through it the rest of today, but affectionately known as SAP by most of our teams. To bring this to life, in any retail business, this is the system that supports us to do everything we do at the core, really, which is plan our sales, the budget we need to and resources that we need to deliver those sales targets, to buy the products that we need to sell, or actually also some of the products that we don't need to sell, but we need in order to deliver our business. Those toilets and toilet rolls and carrier bags have got to be bought somehow. And also how we move these products around, and how then even, and this is different to most retailers, if I'm going to be totally honest, how we make the food in our wonderful kitchens that we sell in our food halls and in our restaurants. So the one thing I always end up forgetting to talk about here, which is probably the most important, is then how we sell our products to our customers and how we enable our teams to do that. Hopefully, by explaining that, this will bring it to life, the pure scale of the programme and how many people across Harrods it actually touches.
Do you think it's worth just pausing there?
I think so.
I think we hear from lots of industry bodies, people like McKinsey that some of us might be aware of, that would say upgrading an ERP system is one of the biggest and most expensive decisions an IT leaders could make. And we know typically most companies only undertake a programme of this size and scale, probably once every couple of decades. I suppose what I like to think about it and what I've seen in the last year, our leadership team would describe this programme as the biggest thing we've ever done and a real investment in all our futures. As we're not just adopting a new system, we really are shaping the future of Harrods to ensure that for the next 20 years, we've got a more efficient system, enabling us to cut down on tedious tasks and focus on what really matters, creating memorable experiences for all of our customers.
And I think it's also worth pointing out that this is the core of the business. Some of us have been describing it as kind of the central nervous system as the business, if we can help bring it to life like that. So if we just change the technology without ensuring that all our teams understood what's changing and had the knowledge of how to do their job in the new ways, then we would struggle to be a success. I mean, to say the least. I don't ever want to use the word disaster. We haven't just taken this as a chance to plug in new systems. We've taken it as a chance to ask lots of questions about how we work, how we do things. Daisy, what would you call out about the way we're approaching this huge task?
Firstly, I think it's probably important to call out the approach we've taken on this programme and really how different technology industry trends are now versus where they were about 20 years ago when we first introduced what we've got today. If we think back, the trend was to really buy software and customise it as much as we like. But over time, as technology and thinking has matured, customising really starts to work against you. It becomes not as easy to upgrade. You need to stand up a whole new project. It becomes a real big task. Fast forward 20 years or so, and if you think how familiar we are now with software upgrades on our phone, personal devices, understanding these technology companies like to add and release new features, it's become kind of part of our essential daily routine. So one of the real firsts at Harrods with the Future Retail programme was actually starting with how the standard functionality should work as the start point, not how we think we want to use it based on how we work today. I won't go into Henry Ford analogies too much. But I suppose with that brings challenge and opportunity. We've evolved over the last 175 years, doing certain things in certain ways. And like you say, we're really replacing the heart and lungs of our business. And that itself is a major operation. I'm sure we'll come more onto our Gillian's house analogy, but you really need to relay the foundations before you can start to build the house again. I think we should probably talk a bit more about change management, because often I think people aren't super clear on what it is, what's involved and why it's important.
So now we're talking. Now you've got me onto my favourite subject. Well, after kind of best places to eat in London and where to go on holiday. When we talk about change, it brings up different emotions in different contexts. So in the work context, most people that I ask will tell me that they love change. It's progress. It's a good thing. But I think if we're all really honest, it's not as easy as it sounds. The fact is, it's not, if I'm honest, the change that's hard. It's the transition that can be hard. So you get from a point of understanding something needs to change, and you want to get to the end point when it all feels comfortable again at the end. But it's that transition, that moving part that's difficult. So as you kind of mentioned earlier, I am constantly relating this to the concept of moving home. And I find that quite useful because it's something that most people have done at some point during their life. You're thinking about all the positive things. So maybe you're moving closer to home. Maybe the commute's going to be easier. Maybe there's more space and it's a nicer area. But whatever that positive focus is at the end, I think we'd all agree that the process of moving is rarely without its challenge and certainly not easy. But what I would say is that good research, planning, certainly eases the pain. So hopefully you can see where I'm going with this analogy. I mean, how do you feel about change, Daisy?
Well, I suppose it might come as a bit of a surprise given the roles that I do and my experience. On one level, it gives me energy, brings excitement, passions, like striving to improve ways of working and make a positive impact to someone's everyday gives me a real sense of fulfillment, however cheesy that may sound. And on the other, I think like anyone, it's the level of control and influence you have over the change that really affects your energy for it. So how much feels within your gift to control.
Exactly. And that's where I come back to my moving house analogy, which I love, because I think we'll all feel more positive if we've chosen to make that move. Than if that decision's been made for us. So, for example, I know that I've loved moving house when I've chosen to move to a new area, but when I had an experience of my landlord selling up from underneath me and pulling me out of my dream home, it didn't feel like a positive start to the experience. So even small things like waking up to a smartphone update that I didn't expect takes a little bit of getting used to. So I won't apologise for using this kind of analogy. I love it. My team get bored in our team meetings of me using these things. However, I think it really helps us move away from that technical change and something, and start to think about something that we can relate our emotions to. Really helps us to prepare our teams to start thinking about how they can be involved in the change and take a little bit more control. So a key aim of change management in a programme space is to help build trust. We want to be visibly tracking activities to ensure people readiness to make the change. things like training, Q&A sessions, signage updates, are just a few examples of things that we need to have in place to help people feel comfortable. The teams are all helping to create the list of activities and in many cases are responsible for making them happen. This gives them the comfort that the core teams are in control of the success of their new way of working. In particular, this brings to mind our super users that we've onboarded as part of the program, who have come from every area of the business to be seconded to work with us to really help their teams understand what's happening and move them forward. At Harrods, we've got it in our DNA to deliver things to a super high standard. Of course, that's what everybody expects of our business. But it can be a challenge when delivering something as big as this, as we have to at times realise that it's baby steps. We're building a foundation. We aren't going to go live straight away and everything be perfect. We need to capture everything, write it down, make a plan, and then we'll drive it forward.
I love that.
I'm glad. I think that's what it's like at Harrods. I think what I'm really interested in, if we're not careful, we spend too long looking internally. I think for someone like yourself who's worked at other places and delivered this kind of piece before, what have you seen the most common success factors been?
Oh, that's a great question. I think firstly, it has to be putting people at the heart of the transformation. And I think we've been doing a really good job at that. At Harrods, we've got a huge super user community. We've introduced what we call as business process owners to really start to build, not for just when we go live, but to build out from that point so they can start to take real ownership, understand new ways of working, and look to drive that continuous improvement mindset that I don't think really ever, if we're being truly honest, really always exists in an organization. So I think that's number one. I think number two, in terms of critical success factors, for me would 100% go down to sponsorship from the leadership team. And I think it's definitely evidence that we feel like we've got that in spades here, which is fantastic to see. And if I'm honest, I really haven't always seen that in projects that I've worked on before across the board. I think thirdly, for me, it would be the ability to talk and bring it to life for people in terms of what it means for me. What really are the benefits for me as a buying assistant? How will it make my life easier and or harder at points at the beginning? And I think, as you know, sometimes that's really hard to bring to life as early as people would like. And I know that's something that feels like a very current challenge that we're really trying to do and work with those super users that I mentioned before to start to get that us to be able to talk in people's language so they know what's coming and what's changing. And then I think probably to build on, I think you've got to start small and build out. I think part of the challenge is, and I think it's so amazing to see in that striving to exceed, we're trying to, often you see people aren't used to projects. Projects don't always come around all the time. The doors open, everyone's trying to throw everything in, is actually being able to say, that might be a great idea, but we've got enough on our hands.
Probably one of our other values is we are human. So us as individuals, we didn't know each other. I think we've known each other just over a year now and are learning a lot about working with each other and enjoying that in most cases, I would say. But I think what we've got to think about is what do we as a team of people need to remember as we're moving through what is going to be quite a challenging time, as we've got a lot to deliver in this period. We are working on something that's really important to all of us, but we need to keep it in perspective as we move forward. We need to have a little bit of fun, because if we don't let ourselves do that, then I think sometimes this can all feel a little bit too serious. But we also need to look after each other. And I think that's one thing I've learned on working with big programs before, is to watch out for each other, understand when we're all finding things tough, understand when the different pressure points come, and see how we can help each other through it. I don't know if you've thought about that much around what you think's important when kind of as a group of people.
No, I think that's a really good question. I think it's always worth remembering that you're all kind of united again, you know, and working together to achieve the same goal. I think when you're on programs as big as this, there's lots of different people, hundreds of different people sometimes you don't see, you know, working globally. I think bringing it back to that, everyone has different kind of personal motivations, different styles, that I think it's learning to embrace that diversity and flex as you need to, both like personally as a team. I think it's kind of learning how to not take everything on yourself. I think I've definitely reflected on that personally, around how to, you know, people are there to help. We've got big teams. How can we better share the load? So I think holding the mirror up and reminding ourselves of that is a really good one, because I think, yeah, we're only going to achieve as a team, which I think does bring kind of brings us back to even our Harrods values. And I think often you just need reminding of that in really busy points.
And I think as well, and the whole team point is super important, and something that I've talked about a lot as we've had different people join the programme, is trying to help people understand that we're not all trying to play the same part in this. I know I've sat in some meetings where there's super technical conversations going on, and if I'm not careful, I kind of get imposter syndrome, because I'm thinking I don't understand what some people are talking about. Then I remind myself why I'm here, the part I'm playing in the team, and realise I don't have to understand all of that, and not to beat myself up, because what I'm bringing to this journey is something totally different. So that's something I'm explaining to everybody as we move forward, is really keep focused on why you've been brought in. There's probably no one else in that team that's been brought in for the same perspective as you. If you are a buying assistant in food, you've been brought in because of your individual knowledge and what you're bringing. And ask that question, raise that point, think about the things that are important for you, because that's why we're going to be here. And I think that's something that I've learned, is don't try and be everyone else, try and be yourself.
Yeah, it's so interesting, actually. There was an article I read in Forbes recently, and it described the trend of ERP replacements and upgrades as from silos to scalability. And I was like, partly cheesy at first, but actually pertinent description, because I think that also applies to us, I think, as a program team, and how you're describing that everyone's bringing something different to the table, and they're, you know, it's a curated team bringing together all that different expertise. And I think unless we all come out of our silos at times, we're not going to be able to kind of scale and be able to succeed. So yeah, it's kind of an interesting reflection.
I'm just thinking, actually, we've been talking a lot about theory. We did actually say we're going to talk about the day-to-day. Can you think about any of the kind of meetings or activities you've been doing recently that have helped really bring this to life?
It's really interesting, actually, because we had a session last week, actually, where we had loads of the restaurant chefs and the kitchen chefs in Hammersmith. And then one of the head chefs put his hand up and was like, but what really is it? And I was like, do you know what? It's actually basically like a system today that run, as we were talking about earlier, but it is actually anything, like literally every transaction we need to do, like create a product on a system in order to sell it on our website, in order to sell it in our stores, or for one of our concession partners or our super brands to sell product, we need to have it on a system for it to be on the tills. We need to be able to buy it from suppliers. We need to take money from our customers. It's the engine doing all of that. And he was like, why does everyone have one? And we were just talking about it. I was like, wow, like when you go back in time, people only really, it's like a 90s technology. They kind of sprung up in the 90s, and people had these manufacturing systems doing a lot of that manufacturing side of life. And then they had finance systems. And this is like, they then came together, and hence software companies like SAP, who we're partnering with, like suddenly becoming such a big trend, because people realized they could actually work much better if they joined the two together. And I think it's so hard because everyone's always like, but what's really changing? So I think a lot of what's changing is like an easier way, just a more modern way to like navigate and know how to do what you want to do without an assumed knowledge base or glossary of transaction codes that you've known. I think as well on the program, like we're definitely introducing some new capabilities that we haven't had before. But I think often when we go and talk to the business, that's definitely more in finance. Like a lot of things we're doing on spreadsheets today, that we're going to bring onto a system. So hopefully that will make it more efficient. We also did I can't remember if you remember the stats, but like we did a piece of work when the leadership team were kind of doing discovery and scoping out whether we were going to do this program or not. And I think the output was something like, we only use, about 20% of the actual functionality in today's system. So we probably could get quite a long way using the old technology, but just using it properly. So a lot of it's more just doing things in a simplified way, like stripping it back. I don't want to go too crazy on the house analogy, but it's a bit like you are kind of stripping it back to basics and then going again. And because of like 20 years on, we're just a very different business. Like the internet didn't exist. you have to remind yourself of some of these, like in order to then like really build out things that we want to do. And I suppose our strategy to enable that in the future.
But I don't think we should undersell that point of the user experience changing. Yeah. So when you talk about the the fact that the system we've got now has been with us for 20 years. I think we had people sing along to the Spice Girls at the same time as working 20 years ago, which is a very different place to where we are now, although I do look a bit of 90s music out there. But if you imagine then someone new starting their career and looking at a system that is 20 years old, it can not feel like a great experience when you join Harrods, and can probably be quite surprising. So I think one of the things that I've seen some of the best reaction to when we've been talking to the business teams is the fact that what you're doing would just look more modern. I think there's an element of it as well where we can put emphasis on learning why you're doing things and how to do things rather than remembering those transaction codes that you've just talked about. I think something else that I've been thinking a lot about and have been getting asked lots of questions about is around training. So how do we ensure that our teams really understand how to use the systems that we've got? So we've often today, we've learned that because we've had some of these systems in place for a long time, people are learning from the person they sit next to. So it's a bit like, I keep saying, it's a bit like learning from your dad to learn to drive instead of learning from a driving instructor. My dad had his arm like hanging out of the window and told me not really to worry about what gear I'm in, which I'm sure is not what someone would tell me if they were teaching me properly to learn to drive. So I think what we are doing through this program is investing in technology also to house all of our training materials to make sure that we've got some real foundations there to ensure people know how to do their job when we go live. But I'm going to be personally championing having a program for once we go live to make sure that as new people are onboarded, they know how best to use our systems and get the most out of them, which I'm really excited about. It's that kind of thing, that long-lasting change that I think will make a big, big change at Harrods.
I think we always underplay that as well. So I think often we talk about it being, you know, we've made huge investment in our store. Now we're making a huge investment in our technology is probably often how we describe it, but really it's a huge investment in our people, in training and in the future in that respect. Of actually, I think in lots of the teams I've been working with, just knowing they're getting training and the support and all starting from a kind of level playing field is one of the most exciting elements of what's to come for them. Because like you say, you're only ever really learning from what you've been shown. And I think we all know in different day-to-day life, some of those small changes make such a huge difference to you, like individually and personally. And I think it's going to be great to see how excited people hopefully get by that, even if, as we know, there'll be challenges along the way.
I mean, I just can't help but laugh, Daisy, because Daisy and I met up this morning to walk from Victoria to Knightsbridge, and I've done that so many times. So I think that's enough storytelling now. We've actually got some work to do, Daisy. Sorry to remind you, we probably need to get back onto a call. But what I would just first like to say is thank you so much for listening. It's been great to share a bit of what's happening behind the scenes as we shape this future here at Harrods. If you've enjoyed this episode and want to hear more about the people, projects and everything that's happening behind the scenes at Harrods, don't forget to follow or subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening. We've got plenty more to come and we'd love to have you along for the journey. So see you next time.